Grace, mercy, and peace be to each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text I'd like to turn our attention to this day is from Romans chapter 8. I want to read one verse from that. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Thus far the text. Dear Christian friends, man, I got to tell you, it's good to be back in Houston. I live in Nebraska. It's a great place. It's wonderful. But I just got two words. Barbecue. Shipley's. Ain't none there. It's good to be back home with friends and family. Now, I want to share with you a story of a young chaplain who shall remain nameless, but his initial was Mike. And he, in 2003, won an all-expense-paid trip to Iraq. They paid for his travel, paid for everything to go on over to Iraq, and it just so happened he was privileged to serve with United States Marines. So he's over in Iraq, and they teach you about how to fight over there. And Marines are smart. They know how to do stuff. And we would go in these convoys with our Humvees, and we would drive in the daytime. We would also drive in the nighttime. However, you can't drive at night with your headlights on. The bad guys can see you, and we're secret. So what they would do is they would have these teeny tiny little lights on the back of Humvees. You can't see them with your eyes. But Marines, again, are smart. And they put on night vision goggles. With those things, you could see everything pretty well. And so we were in one Humvee, and the others were in front of us. And we followed, and we got to a small town in Iraq with a bunch of roads, a bunch of corners, a bunch of buildings. And the thing was, stay in line. Don't lose sight of the truck in front of you. So the truck in front of us, 100 meters down, turns left. Talk to my assistant. We're going to turn left. Uh-huh, yep. So we got to the corner, and we turned left. And friends and neighbors, I'm here to tell you there was no truck there. Now, lesser men might have panicked, but not the chaplain, because I'm an ossifer. I'm smart. And so we had a radio. And I got on the radio and I said, hey, this is the chaplain. We can't see you anymore, so why don't you come back here and get us? Chaplain, just move forward. This is the chaplain. I said, you come back here and get us. Chaplain, calm down. This is the chaplain. I'm calm. You come back here and get us. Chaplain, just move forward. No. A chaplain, just move forward. Uh-uh. Chaplain, move forward. I don't wanna. You come back here and you get us. Chaplain, look up. What side of the road is the moon on? The right side? Chaplain, you're on the right road. Keep going forward. Okay. 5 minutes later, we found the other trucks. Now, I don't know what 5 minutes is like in your life, or maybe 5 minutes in the fourth quarter of a Texans game. I'm not sure. But the 5 minutes in this time was a long, long time. I never saw anything as sweet and as wonderful as those dirty old Humvees in front of us. But today in our text, even though it seems that moving forward is the wrong, scary thing to do, Paul tells us that, yes, you can move forward, because you're not alone. You can move forward. Listening to Paul, who seems to be a pretty good guy, the greatest missionary on the face of the earth, one that we would want to be like, tells us that we are safe. This man who has a zeal to share the Lord, and wouldn't it be nice if we all were more Paul-like? Well, we talk about freedom, and let's talk about what that means. And I'll share with you another story. My wife and I are the proud parents of four kids, two daughters, two sons. The latest son just got here in February. We received him when he was 14 years old. We adopted a young boy from China. His name is Jing. Now, Jing's still working on English. You know, we've talked to him about Jesus, God's son. We talk about God the Father, and he says, pizza. Pizza. Godfather's pizza. No. We'll work on that. That's okay. But Jing also has special needs. Jing has cerebral palsy. Now, I don't know if you know about cerebral palsy, but it's like other neuromuscular issues where the brain says, hey, do something. But somehow in that messaging system, it doesn't quite get to the muscles. So that if he wants to raise his arm like this, it may go like this. And when he tries to talk, his lips don't work just right. So we can talk to him, but it's a difficult situation. And I didn't realize when we first got him, when he talks in three-word sentences. And I thought, well, what's up with this? You know, he'll say, hello, how are you? But nothing else. So he'll go, oh, and then he'll say his next sentence. The reason is he has no muscles in his lungs. He has no wind. So it takes him a while to catch his breath and then say a word again and then again. Now, I think life must be very frustrating for Jing because he knows what he wants his body to do, but his body won't cooperate. From here to here is just 6, 10, 12 inches, but it could be as far as the moon for him to try to get his body to cooperate, which seems similar to what Paul talked about just before our text in Romans 7. Listen to what Paul struggles with. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that's in my flesh. I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep doing. Paul says, do good stuff. But somehow the message doesn't get out to the rest of his body. And it doesn't quite work the way it's supposed to. To be so tantalizingly close to doing the right thing, to being free. Again, for Jing, I can't imagine to see other kids run and jump. When he walks with a little bit of a gait like this. And to know that it's just millimeters, that if things worked and that messaging, he's so close, but so far. But you kind of know what that's like, too, in terms of expectations that folks put on you. I have to give a shout-out to my wife. I travel a lot. And my wife, as I said, we have two daughters, two sons, which means my wife has five children. And so she keeps the home fires burning. She's able to have supper ready when it's supposed to. There is a shampoo fairy that lives at our house because we're never out of shampoo. I never see it happen, but there's always shampoo in the shower. There's always stuff taken care of for our family, and I don't do it. So my wife will do Herculean things. She gets the kids ready, gets the house clean, etc., and then she will forget dance shoes. So my wife has got like 19 out of 20 things, but she forgets the dance shoes. Oh, man, I'm so bad. Honey, you're knocking out of the ballpark, but she didn't meet her expectations. And on top of that, if you work outside the home, add 40 more hours of people making demands upon your time, then your family, and then everything else. Gentlemen, we too, those of us who are fathers, kind of struggle to try to crush it at work, get everything done, and then come home and try to help. Try to do the right good things that we're supposed to do. For example, to be at your son or daughter's football, baseball, softball, basketball, soccer, dance, gymnastics, drama, glee club, whatever it is, to be there on time and to keep your eyes open. Yes, honey, sweet, that's good. and to be there and to do everything right. And so you get home and you do that, and you help the kids with the homework, and everything else is just right, and you think, I have done it. I am the perfect husband, the perfect father. And as you put the kids to bed, they say, hey, Dad, did you forget Mom's birthday today? Yes, I think I did. I'll be sleeping on the couch, thank you very much. We fail our expectations. Even if you don't have kids, imagine if, you know, Mom or Dad, you know, and you're trying to start out, and you're working as hard as you can, and Mom or Dad or Grandma, well, are you seeing anybody? Well, not Dad. I'm working on that. I'm working 70 hours a week. I've got enough college debt to choke 7 horses, one thing at a time. Well, we're not getting any younger, and we need grandparents. Okay, Grandma, just wait. Expectations from ourselves, from those around us, and we haven't even gotten to God's expectations. What God says He wants from you and from me. And those are a little bit more challenging. I happen to know a fellow whose father is in the later stages of Alzheimer's. And is a great godly man, a good guy. But his mind is kind of losing some of its faculties, where you go into his room, you're not quite sure what you're going to hear. As a matter of fact, there might be some things that would make a sailor blush. He never used to say those words. But now those filters are gone. And so they just pop right out whenever it seems like a good time to have them. But you and I, we've got filters, right? We don't say that stuff. But each one of those words is still there. It resides right in your head, right in your heart. There's a filter, but they're still there. You see, we don't have cerebral palsy that takes away our muscles. We have something called sin that destroys what it touches, that destroys God's creation, that breaks relationships. You and I are struggling with sin. This is great news. Hey, chaps, thanks so much. Made my day. Appreciate that. We fail our expectations, and we're slaves to our sin, slaves to our expectations. And Paul has good news for us, and he says this, wretched man that I am, who is going to rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord, because it is He that rescues us from death. Now, normally I don't do a lot of audience participation, but I just can't help myself at this moment. And if I can, I'm going to I had a chance to meet Kevin and Bethany over here, and Avery. I didn't get to meet the other ones. But I'm just going to ask a question, just a simple question, so it's okay. Just a little question. You can work with me? Okay. You seem like a nice family. Let's just imagine, just for grins and giggles, that your family and my family went on a camping trip. So, you know, we got tents or whatever, and we're out, we're having a nice time. And some of us want to have lunch or play at the park. Others want to go for a hike. All right, with me so far? Not going too fast, right? Okay. So let's say that Bethany and Avery and I are walking on a little park, a little path, and then the cliff falls over. And so what's happening, Bethany, stay with me here, is that Avery and I are hanging off a cliff. How old is Avery again? 8 months, all right? So 8 months and me are hanging off a cliff, and Bethany, thanks be to God, reaches down, both hands, me in one hand, Avery in the other, but she can only pull one of us up. 10,000 feet to our death. Now, you have to make a choice. Take your time. Give it some thought. I want you to think about, you know, how you might arrive at this choice. I want to let you know I'm very good at cleaning houses. I can work on cars. They won't run afterwards, but I can work on cars. There's a lot of good things about me. Now, again, do you have an answer yet? No, take some more time if you want. No pressure. Which one between me or Avery would you choose? Do you want to rethink your decision? Just a little bit? No? Thank you very much. So now, does it make sense to you that between picking me or her daughter, who agrees with her that she made the right choice to save her daughter? Okay, now, who agrees with me that she's... Pastor? I absolutely agree with you. Is it Kevin, right? Kevin, if it was between you and my 10-year-old daughter or any of my kids, it would not take the time of a heartbeat for me to make my decision to say, bye-bye. It wouldn't. Exactly. But I want you to understand when we talk about, therefore, no condemnation in Christ Jesus, that God had you in one hand. He had his son in the other. He did not let you go. He would not let you go, even though it cost the life of his own dear son, because he values you as a precious child of God. He would not be denied of having you in his family. He would not be broken apart from you by sin, death, or the devil. He would not, because you are that precious in his sight. That's why Paul says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Not at all. No expectations from you, no expectations from others, no expectations from God in terms of judgment. No condemnation. When God sees you, he smiles. When God sees you, he beams. When God sees you, he laughs. And he's overjoyed because you are his child and you are precious in his sight. That, my friends, is freedom. Freedom from any structures that you have, constrictions that you have, or what you feel. You are free because you are God's child. And nothing is ever going to change that. Not here, not there, not anywhere. And this is the gift that we have at Gloria Day. To share with others this freedom in Christ, that we are blood-bought children of God. Our sin taken away, and God treasures us. So that we can share with others. In fact, we shared this morning with our military folks to say thank you for your service. Now, I want to tell you, there are a lot of things the military can provide. When you get in the uniform, they give you uniforms, beans, bullets, bombs, all that stuff. They've got supply systems in the military where you can order paper, you can order desks, you can order jeeps, whatever you want to order to do your job, they got. But you look in the databases and the systems for the supply people, there's one thing they don't have. One thing they don't stock. They don't have forgiveness. They don't. It's not theirs to give. It is yours and mine as the church. That is what we offer and share. Forgiveness and grace and life in Christ Jesus. And so in response to that, you have sent... not just beef jerky or baby wipes to our folks overseas. You have sent a pastor, flesh and blood, with the word of God and forgiveness on his lips and in his heart to share with those who sit in the blistering heat of Kuwait, who struggle at this time and say, I'm not sure what's happening, and Pastor Lonnie is there. He's there to say, you are a blood-bought child of God. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. You are his child. And it's not just Pastor Lonnie's mission, it's your mission. So much so that you still care for Joy and for the kids. Thanks be to God for that, for all that you do to share that wonderful good news. What a blessing to be here in this place with you. But in a few short moments, we're going to walk out that door. And we're going to go out there. And you know what? It's crazy out there. I mean, it could get wacky out there. I mean, you may not have heard this, but there were certain news this past week. And it's like, well, now what? The world's going up. Wah! Now what? And God says, move forward. No, wait, you come back here, and then I'll go. Come forward. No, come back here. Move forward. I don't want to. Move forward. Follow my word. Follow my voice. I'm scared. Do you see my word which I have given to you that promises life and salvation? Do you see the saints gathered at Gloria Day and throughout the world? Uh-huh. Then you're on the right path. Move forward. Move forward and follow me. May God bless us and lead us to that each and every day. Amen.